This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And 40, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the eyebrow-raising security breach that happened with attack plans on the Houthi rebels. Javed Ali joins us, former senior director for counterterrorism on the National Security Council during the first Trump administration and an associate professor of practice at the University of Michigan's Ford School. Good morning, sir. How are you? Do you have me on mute, perhaps? Professor?
I do not. Do you hear me?
I can hear you now. Fine. Thank you, sir. For people that don't know, maybe if you could give me a brief synopsis of what happened with this, the attack plans being sent to a reporter.
So, Tommy, yeah, this is still an evolving story, but based on what is most recently coming out, it appears that in the aftermath of must have been a weeks-long deliberate planning process led by the National Security Council in the White House to consider what should the United States do against the threat from these Houthi rebels in Yemen, that at some point, sort of as a sidebar, I guess that's the best way I could describe it, this chat group was created by the National Security Advisor, Michael Waltz, or people around him, on the phones of all the senior folks who were involved in those National Security Council meetings inside the White House. And then it appears that there were these parallel conversations about issues related to, you know, what was being discussed in this highly classified forum inside the National Security Council. Then some of those discussions moved into the signal chat on individuals' personal cell phones. So that's where things, to me, seem to have deviated or drifted from the formal planning process that was led by the White House, because the name of the group suggests that, because Michael Waltz or whoever created the group labeled it the Yemen EC, which stands for Principals Committee Small Group. So that right there tells me that there were a series of these meetings inside the White House that went all the way up to the Principals Committee, which Waltz would chair as the National Security Advisor, and then all the folks who are in that chat group were probably at the table in those White House meetings.
So this Atlantic reporter, and what bothers me, because everything's political, right, is that Hegseth first denied it, even though the White House said, yes, it does look legitimate. They attacked the reporter, whom, if anything, I think the reporter is to be commended, because he sat on this. He didn't publish it because he knew it was of national security concern. The president himself attacked Atlantic magazine and said he didn't like it, that they were in trouble and the business was likely to fail. When in essence, this was a huge blunder that outlined an attack that could have put people in jeopardy. Is that accurate, Professor?
So another one of these really puzzling aspects of the series of events, and we've already talked about one, sort of this deviation from like the standard planning process that is tightly controlled and highly classified within the White House, and migrating over, some of those discussions migrating over into this Signal chat group. How in the world did somebody add a reporter to that chat group and nobody else in the group knew that that reporter was in there? I mean, that
was my question, professors. What in the hell? Why in the hell? Where? In what universe? What button do you press? How do you mistakenly put a reporter in attack plans for the U.S. military? I don't...
Yeah, I mean, again, that's why I keep using the word puzzling. I don't understand how, even if they wanted to keep this Signal group going, which they shouldn't have, but they did on their personal cell phones, then adding a reporter, and was that just a mistake, or was Goldberg, or were some of these folks previously a source for Goldberg, and that's why they added him? Like, I can't explain it other than just, you know, trying to grasp it. At some of these explanations, but then Goldberg sat in it in the chat group. No one knew that he was there, or sort of raised questions. Who is this person with the initials JG? Mm-hmm. And then he claims to have sort of seen these very sensitive operational details about the strikes that then happened on March 15th against the Houthis, and then there were follow-on strikes for the next couple of days. But on the flip side, Secretary of Defense Hegseth has denied that those details were in the chat group. I think the White House press secretary has also come out and said that there was no classified information. So now we've got a question of two sides telling two very different stories. And from the public side, I don't think we know all the facts or know where the truth is at this moment.
So this reporter would have had to have made this up if those are not accurate screenshots, right?
Well, again, I would have a hard time believing Jeffrey Goldberg would invent something that sort of striking in its revelation, because the other screenshots that he shared show some of the folks in this chat group and their reactions to the strikes and the aftermath of them occurring, and then some of the other discussions about sort of the policy dimensions of what would potentially happen. But we don't know yet if Goldberg will share what he saw, or whether he managed to also take screenshots or capture that information. But both the Secretary of Defense and the White House are pushing back on that. So, again, it's not clear where the truth lies, but I would have a hard time believing Goldberg would just make it up. Because, again, if he was making it up, then that would just do grave damage to the credibility of him as a journalist and to The Atlantic as an organization.
Why would they even be using Signal in the first place? And tell me about that app. I know it's encrypted, but... well, first of all, it could be as encrypted as you want. If you send it to the wrong person, then the cat is out of the bag. But what would be the proper way to do it? Tell me about Signal, and would this be some kind of way to keep it private and get around a public records request or something? I'm trying to understand the thought process behind all of this.
Right. So whether it's Signal or WhatsApp or other secure messaging applications that you can download for free onto your phone or your computer, they provide end-to-end encryption of the content of the communication. But again, if you created a group versus sort of a point-to-point conversation or discussion, well, now you potentially have increased the risk of other people knowing about your encrypted communications. And then, you know, the devices themselves could be compromised too. And with all these very senior U.S. government folks who are in the group, who knows, like Russia, China, other adversaries of the United States, have they been trying to gain some kind of electronic access to their personal cell phones. I don't know the answer to that. But again, like, that's something you would have to consider from a risk perspective. But the fact that this signal group was created and then the conversations within the group, even if everyone thought they were encrypted and secure to people who were invited in it, were happening on their personal cell phones, that, again, is another issue. Because even if they wanted to have these parallel conversations outside of the realm of the White House when they were having them physically inside the Situation Room, why wouldn't they have used their government-issued cell phones to have the same kind of group chat, which maybe they could have done that, maybe they couldn't have, but it seems like they were going for sort of expediency by having these conversations on Signal on their personal cell phone.
I know you...
If there's no classified communication, then it still seems like a breakdown in protocol.
I know you have to go. Politics aside, what do you want to see done? How do they fix this? Just make sure nothing like that ever happens again?
Yeah, well, hopefully there's some pretty clear guidance from the White House now coming out about these kind of conversations cannot happen on your personal cell phone anymore. If you're going to have them, they have to be inside a government facility, which the Situation Room is, and that's why you have the National Security Council meetings there, or you have to have them on your government-issued phones, but you can't do it on your personal phone, even if you're trying to use Signal or WhatsApp. And we'll see if that happens. Right now, also, President Trump has said, you know, he's not intent on removing or firing Mike Waltz. Doesn't look like anyone is going to lose their job over this right now either.
Thank you, Professor. I know you got to go. Appreciate your time. Javed Ali, former Senior Director for Counterterrorism National Security Council during the first Trump administration, an Associate Professor of Practice at the University of Michigan's Ford School. The hardest thing in the world for some people to say is, oh, we goofed that up. We made a mistake. And as opposed to, you know, political sacrifices or this one getting fired or that, the other thing, I would just hope that, you know, forget Hillary Clinton, forget this, forget that. Let's move forward and just make sure that this never happens again and make sure that the proper protocols are being followed, because you would think that, man, when it comes to something like this, it's done in a wall with a room with lead walls where nobody can hear what's going on or see what's going on, or some kind of satellite phone that's encrypted or something. This freaked me out when I heard about this yesterday. We'll take a break, find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.